Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 5029. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here. I'm recording on Thursday, June the 13th, 2019. Don't know when you're listening to this. That's the great thing about podcasts. Shattered Lives, Broken Hearts, and Lost Religion. You're going to want to go see the website because you're going to want to check out the show notes, particularly an embedded video that I'm going to post. Go to leaningtowardwisdom.com and just search for episode 5029. If you cue the REM song, I would, but I can't. Losing My Religion, you would hear the lyric, I've said too much, I haven't said enough. These two sentences are the quandary for a communicator. When my kids were young, I remember telling them, you're cursed with a dad who's likely going to go to the grave having said too much. I cannot fully explain the urge to connect and communicate with my kids. I cannot fully explain the urge to connect and communicate with anybody that I love. It is a powerful urge, and one that I mostly answer with rare exceptions. And those exceptions are when I sense little or no desire on the part of the other person. And in that case, usually, very quickly, I just accept it and move on and allow my introversion to kick into full gear. It's super easy for me, by the way, to do this, to climb into my head and just be there alone for extended periods of time. Faith. Nothing is more important. Nothing. And for good reason. Eternity changes everything. Now, my faith isn't blind. It is not without compelling evidence. It is based on the Bible, and I know people, they can hurl barbs against religion and the Bible and faith, and that's fine. I'm not bothered by that too much. Mostly, I know how fortunate, how blessed I am to have been taught the truth of God's Word by my parents. I hit the proverbial lottery because I didn't have to go searching for God or the truth. It was handed to me on a platinum platter. My wife and I did the very same thing for our children. Kevin Stevens is a two-time Stanley Cup-winning retired NHLer. Played with the likes of Mario Lemieux, was this outstanding left winger for the Pittsburgh Penguins. The man earned over $21 million during his playing career, and that was in an era where players didn't earn the millions and millions of dollars per season like they do today. He squandered it all. Wrecked his health, wrecked his marriage, his relationship with his kids, his parents, the rest of the family, the teammates that he hoisted the cup with, the teammates who loved him. Just last night, the Stanley Cup was given and hoisted by the St. Louis Blues. Congrats to the St. Louis Blues, first time ever in over 50 years in the history of that franchise. Never have won the cup till now. Pretty terrific. Those of us in Dallas who are Steve Ott fans. Steve Ott is an assistant coach with St. Louis who used to play for the Dallas Stars back in the day. We were all quite pleased that Steve Ott got a cup. Well, Kevin Stevens has his name on that cup twice, and he hurt everybody who loved him. Mostly he hurt himself with heavy doses of shame, self-loathing, and guilt. Yeah, okay, addiction does that. In fact, I've discovered addiction always does that 100% of the time. Every story is uniquely identical. Take a human being, insert drugs, legal or otherwise, and watch the person turn their life completely around, and not in a good way. 180 degrees. It happens every single time. I have yet to encounter an exception because there are no exceptions. I've heard stories from dozens and dozens of people from all walks of life, all kinds of education or lack thereof, all kinds of backgrounds. People engaged in all kinds of work, people with strong convictions based on faith, people who never did have faith, mostly ordinary, moral people living decent lives, but then giving it all up, becoming immoral, reckless, selfish, despicable people, steeped in shame and embarrassment, and yet all the while refusing to face it because, well, masking is easier. Riding on a train track that's taking their lives into this abyss that they never planned, living in ways they never imagined possible, finding their lives in a new normal that is deplorable compared to who they once were, loving nobody but themselves, and quite frankly, hating themselves. caring about nothing but how victimized they feel by anybody and everybody who has ever loved them, helped them, served them, lying, cheating, stealing, crawling into ever descending gutters of human choice, choices that they either find or create, all the while feeling worse and worse and worse about themselves, but unable or unwilling to change their course. Take any breakable item that you would like. I don't know, it could be a nice plate. It could be a favorite coffee cup. It could be a bowl. I'm kind of fond of bowls. I've got some favorite bowls. It's something that you enjoy, something you find valuable, not necessarily expensive. I've got a couple of cheap bowls that came from Walmart. But something that you esteem regularly because, well, you use it and it brings you joy. But it's breakable. Now take it and throw it on the floor and treat it as though it now no longer matters to you. Treat it as though it has betrayed you. Treat it as though it's made you angry. Break it into as many pieces as possible and see it scattered and shattered across the floor. Gone. Destroyed. No longer that cup, it can't hold your morning coffee. For me, that favorite bowl, it can't hold my favorite breakfast cereal or maybe dessert. The item that you once loved is now broken into as many pieces that you can't even count them all. And you wonder, well, you probably don't wonder it, but you could wonder it. How will, I mean, can I possibly get this thing back together? No, you're probably thinking, can I replace it? That's the problem. That's the problem with a shattered life. You can't replace it. It's irreplaceable. And shattered lives are far more difficult to put back together than you trying to put back together a coffee cup that's shattered on the floor. The glassware doesn't fight your work. If you did shatter it, if it did break into some pieces and you could put it, the glassware is not going to fight your effort to try to put it back together. But people do. The glassware doesn't deny being broken either. But people do. When a life goes off the rails and shatters, unlike the glassware, it breaks other lives too. I've got two of these favorite bowls. I could throw one down on the ground and break it, but I got another one. And the one that's not broken, it doesn't break just because the first one broke. Yeah, lives don't work that way. They just don't work that way. Humans work very differently. When a life shatters, those who love that life, they're brokenhearted. Can't be prevented. It's the price that is demanded by the love that we have for each other. Let me give you two words that have been really on my mind lately. Truth and responsibility. Truth and responsibility. I'm hard-pressed to find two terms that more properly define how we should live if we hope to contribute to humanity and live a meaningful life. These are choices that we can make. Refusing them brings us shattered lives, broken hearts, and lost faith, and our soul. Our opportunity to provide light to the world, however much light one life can provide, which frankly is quite a lot, actually. But whatever that potential light could be, it dissipates, and eventually it disappears completely when we refuse to choose truth and responsibility. The alternate choice that many people make is to lie to themselves and lie to others, because liars won't bear responsibility. It's why they're liars. And so it's killing two ideals with a single choice. An easy path to a wrecked life that can corrupt us all. Think your life doesn't have any impact on the rest of the world? Well, that's the biggest lie of all. Maybe. Lives that refuse to face the truth of themselves and their circumstances? Doomed. Hopeless. How can it be anything else when you won't stare down your problems with the determination to become better? It's all about improvement. It's not about perfection. It's all about growth. It's not about achievement. It's all about individual commitment to live a good life, a life dedicated to truth, to responsibility. The cause? I don't know. You know, the cause of a shattered life, it could be almost anything. It could be immaturity. It could be selfishness. It could be substance abuse. It could be addiction. It could be lack of self-control. It could be misplaced affections. It could be poor influences. It could be just about anything. Whatever the impetus, shattered lives are the domain of accountable people capable of making a choice. In other words, they're without excuse. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't contributing reasons, but it means people willing to shatter their lives they leaned into those reasons. They opted to use those reasons as excuses. And in that regard, they chose to be victims. Victims of their own choosing, even though they most often do not see it that way. In fact, they never see it that way. No big shock there, because truth and responsibility do not define how they live. They don't live their lives based upon truth. They don't live their lives based on responsibility. They live their lives based on lies and dishonesty and fault-finding and excuse-making and self-loathing and hatred and bitterness and resentment and all the rest. What do you do with a shattered life? What do you do with a shattered life? Well, it depends. Depends on whose life it is. If it's your life that is shattered, you get whatever help you need. I'm not bold enough, I'm certainly not crazy enough to tell you to buck up and just do whatever you must to get things fixed. I mean, would that it were that easy. It's not that easy. It never is that easy. We like smooth, easy, quick answers to really complex problems, but it's just not realistic, and it often does more harm. Lives are complicated. Our lives are complicated. Our problems are complex. Yeah, people can help us, but not until we're ready. Absolutely not until we are ready. Some people claim bravery. That's the first step. I don't know. Bravery is quite a ways up the road, it seems to me, from where the journey begins. To me, it seems that it begins with some realization that this ain't working. I mean, it's that whole coming to yourself magic that every person has got to experience before growth or improvement can happen. Until we come to ourselves and realize the current habits of our life, they are not working to serve us. And they're not working to serve anybody else who loves us. And until we come to that realization, nothing's going to change. We're closed off to any opportunity to become a better human being until our guilt, our shame, and whatever else we're feeling is more than we can or want to handle. Frankly, until we just get sick and tired of being sick and tired, we're not going to change. Hence, that proverbial rock bottom that we all talk about. Other people can see how shattered our lives are, but we're always going to be the last to know. This is an interesting phenomenon to me, and it's the counter leadership phenomenon. I learned when I was a young man in business, great leaders see the future first. That is, you can see where you want to go. And if you're a great leader, you can help other people see that same vision, and they want to go there too. But shattered lives, they see the truth last. They see it last. It's why people who eventually come to themselves say, and by the way, 100% of them say this. There are no exceptions. I have yet to encounter an exception. If you've got one, I'd like to hear about it. The people who have shattered lives but eventually come to themselves all say, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe that was me. They couldn't see it, even though everybody else around them could see it. And by the time they did see it, the shattering had likely gone on for quite some time, wrecking everything in its path. If the shattered life is somebody else's, again, to the answer to the question, well, what are we to do? There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can do to actively change it. It's not your life. What you see doesn't matter. How you feel, that doesn't matter either. It only matters what the shattered life sees. Letting people that we love shatter their life is difficult, but not really, because we're powerless to stop it. Letting them go and enduring their bitterness toward people that they've known and loved all their life, which may include us, is hard, but there's not one thing you can do to prevent it. Shattered lives are built on lies, finger pointing, excuse making, and not facing the truth. They focus on irresponsibility. We can't waste our time trying to figure it out because, well, it's a superior level of delusion that only other shattered lives can see or understand. In other words, if you could understand it, your life would be shattered too, until the fog lifts. Unless the fog lifts. And it doesn't always. Sometimes the fog consumes people and they are lost forever. The lucky and the blessed ones, they hit some point in their lives where they give some consideration to an alternative. And it's why people recovering from a shattered life often express it like this. I suddenly thought, what am I doing? What am I doing? When life is so broken, we look in the mirror and we realize it's us. We've done this. Then we're beginning to make a decision to lean into the truth, but only when we're sick of our lies. And some people never get sick of their lies. Shattered lives are wasted lives. Sadly, the waste is not confined to their life. Every shattered life has shattered the lives of people who care about them. Watch that little video of Kevin Stevens. There are a lot of people around this man. Professionally, socially, family. Broken hearts. Broken hearts are scattered in the wake of every shattered life. Sadness, shame, embarrassment, guilt. It's all part of the program. It's all part of the territory owned by the shattered life. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Now, again, it's complicated. But the shattered life is so delusion-based, it forces the remedy to be more complicated than it truly is. In other words, the person gets themselves so vexed, so sad, so filled with shame, so embarrassed, so guilt-ridden, they can't see a way out. And again, it's the polar opposite of great leaders, great leadership. Great leaders break down problems into the simplest terms so the solution can be quickly implemented. It's one way great leaders are able to see the future first, because they've solved the problem in their mind before they ever take any action. The shattered life works in exactly the opposite way. The shattered life can't see things for what they really are until everybody else has seen it first. They see it last. Largely because in their delusion, they've overcomplicated everything. In their head, they've traveled too far down the road to change it. Their guilt, their shame, it seems unfixable. They can't break it down into the simplest terms so that they can get started to recover. So, they don't start. They continue to do what they did to shatter their lives, and they just spiral down further and further and lower and lower, searching for the bottom, I guess. Broken hearts know that bottom is relative. And unfortunately, there are no maps. And there's no sign that says, you've arrived. Congratulations. Here's bottom. For too many, the bottom is death, often at their own hands. Again, it's the inability to see a solution to a problem that can be fixed. Love leaves. Love absolutely leaves. First, it leaves a shattered life. When a life breaks, love is a casualty. It is among the first casualties. Love of self, love of others, and very, very quickly, love of God. Which isn't so surprising, because the Bible tells us that God is love. Peace and joy, yeah, those leave too. Because, well, those accompany truth and love. So if you're going to abandon truth and love, you're going to abandon peace and joy. And something has to fill that void. Because now there's this absence of love. There's this absence of peace. There's this absence of joy. There's this absence of truth. So what's it going to be? Well, it's going to be selfishness. It's going to be the constant, never satisfied pursuit to feel better. Just something else contributing to the delay of coming to oneself. The commitment to just feel better right now in this moment. Behaviors that shove the shattered life to the back of the line in recognizing the cause of the destruction. They just keep on piling up. That's why things go from bad to worse. Life goes from bad to worse, but momentarily relief can come in the form of, well, in a form of all kinds of stuff, I guess. Drugs, alcohol, some substance, some behavior. And it's very easy to have some intent focus on every single bad event, every single bad circumstance, every single act of mistreatment or injustice. Life morphs into this running scoreboard in the head of the shattered life, where every injustice is cataloged and relived over and over and over, all in hopes of, see, this is why it's not my fault. See, this is why it's not my responsibility. Never mind that 100% of humanity, 100% of humanity, that we have all endured countless injustices, countless bad events, countless misfortune, countless poor treatment. Thankfully, we don't all concentrate on the negative. Many of us are able to stare down the poorest of circumstances and just make a declaration, this will not define me. Giving up on God, that really isn't so surprising because the shattered life has first given up on themselves. That doesn't look that way, not at first. But in essence, it is what has happened. The shattered life abandons wisdom, responsibility, and truth. And when you do that, there's just nothing left to lose. And there's nobody left to blame because, well, you've now run out of fingers to point at anybody or anything. And so what do? You just aim as high as possible. It gets no higher than God. Doesn't get any higher than heaven. I'll blame them. It's God's fault. God did this to me. God let this happen to me. All because they can't see their life for what it truly is. All because they give themselves over to the lies and to the deceit. Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Let me read it to you. It's not that long. Now there was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. And a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and he was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, and they that would pass from hence to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham saith, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one would go from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. There are some very interesting facts brought out in this story. One, the rich man was blind. Not literally, but he just did not see things as they truly were. His life was devoted to the delusion that this life was all about getting all that he could, serving himself, being happy, whatever. He was successful, or so he thought. Shattered lives see life the same way. I'm doing what I want. I don't care what anybody else wants. Shattered lives serve only themselves, and they think it's just fine. Secondly, the rich man didn't think about God. He did not think about judgment. He did not think about eternity. He did not think about his soul until he understood he had it all wrong. He had every bit of it wrong. Eternity changes things. Fact is, it changes everything. You don't have to believe in God if you don't want to. It's not going to impact God's existence one way or the other, whether you believe. It's not going to make a difference in your ultimate accountability. Believe what you want. Deny what you want. Makes no bit of difference to the facts. Your lies don't change anything except your vision to see things as they truly are, just like the rich man. Number three, he knew there weren't any do-overs. He knew there weren't any do-overs for him, but he also knew he didn't want his brothers to end up in this same fate. And so he begged that this beggar Lazarus send him back from the dead so that he can warn these people. Wasn't possible. Number four, the big truth. Here's the big truth. Shattered lives won't listen to anybody, even if somebody came back from the dead to warn them. The hard-headed blindness of the shattered life, it can't be repaired by an outside influencer. It can only be fixed when the shattered life makes the declaration, I want to see things as they really are. I don't care how painful it may be. I want to see things as they really are. Truth. That's the only fix. And when truth is embraced, other things enter to help repair the damage that's done. Things like love, peace, forgiveness, joy. These replace the guilt, the shame, the embarrassment, the resentment, the blame, the bitterness. Well, now that hardly seems like a fair fight to me, right? I mean, it's because those of us who see it accurately, we're leaning toward wisdom. We see it. But the shattered lives that may be part of our lives and break our hearts and lay us low, they can't see it. They can't see it. They can't see truth and love and peace and forgiveness and joy. Oh, but they're well acquainted with guilt and shame and embarrassment and resentment and blame and bitterness. And it vexes us with this nagging question, why can't they see it? Why can't they see it? I wish I had an answer. I don't. They just can't. Better said, they just won't. They just won't see it. It's hard to look. It's hard to look at the mess we make. It's harder still to admit that we broke it. But here's the truth. When and if the shattered life can decide to look at it and to own it, everything improves. It's the only path back. And depending on the depth and the breadth of the shattering, which, by the way, it can be quite extensive, but depending on that depth, depending on that breadth, everything, and I mean everything, is infinitely improved from what it was when the shattering just kept on going day after day after day after day. I'd love to be able to tell you that everything can be fixed, but not everything can be fixed. But shattered lives can be put back together, and repairs can be made, and forgiveness can be granted, and goodness can be restored. I mean, you would think, wouldn't you? You would think that the upside would be just so apparent. But again, blindness is complete, and it is total when your life is shattered. Until you want to see the truth, until you are ready to stare at the truth and accept the truth without blinking, until you're ready to accept the fact that there is no future in living a lie. There is no goodness. There is no true love. There is no forgiveness. There's no remedy for your guilt, for your shame, for your embarrassment. Control. Restoration is about accepting control of our own life, warts and all, and we've all got them. Reclaiming our life is about realizing that we alone shoulder the burden of crafting the quality of our life. I'm not saying people can't help. They can, and they will, and they do. But at the end of the day, it's our life. Gratitude. Restoration is also about recognizing how blessed we are. Well, shattered lives don't experience any gratitude. But restored lives are filled with gratitude. Consider the life of the Apostle Paul. If any man serving God faithfully could complain about his lot in life, it had to be Paul. But he was too busy. Well, too busy what? He was too busy counting his blessings. He was too busy doing the work. He was too busy being appreciative of the opportunity the Lord gave him. He was too busy being grateful for what awaited him after this life. And in his own words, he counted it all is just waste and loss, all the stuff that he sacrificed here. Why? Because, well, heaven's going to be so much grander long-term. Restoration is not about short-term thinking. Shattered lives working toward repair are committed to the long haul. Well, that's in stark contrast to the shattered life, because life can be shattered in a moment, and restoration can take a lifetime. But your life... You know, your life is going to be as long as it's going to be anyway. So you may as well devote your time to restoration. You may as well stop shattering your life. It's kind of like a person who goes to work every day from 9 to 5 and they just hate every second of it and they just moan and groan and complain every second. Well, hating it won't make it better. You've got to spend 9 to 5 there anyway. You may as well work harder to enjoy it, especially if you're unable or unwilling to change it. Hope. Man, hope's a wonderful thing. Shattered lives, they've given up on that too. The list of good things sacrificed by shattered lives, is it dawning on you as it is me? It just keeps growing longer and longer and longer. It's like, man, the negatives, the pros and cons here, well, the cons have it far and away. All these things that are lost by a broken life, a shattered life, truth, love, joy, peace, forgiveness, responsibility, accountability, hope. I mean, what a high price to pay. In recent months, I've been focused on forgiveness. Forgiveness happens to be number one on my character strengths assessment. If you are interested in more about that, you can contact me. Just go to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. character strengths are not like skill strengths or like strengths finder. It's based on what you believe and how you roll. It's more kind of innate who you are. I've taken this thing a number of times. Forgiveness is almost always number one for me. And I'm focused on it even more recently, namely how intently God wants to grant it, that is forgiveness, because God's happy when he has the opportunity to forgive us. Well, why is that the case? Well, if we believe the scripture, and I do, it's because he loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Shattered lives won't see any of that. They can't see any of that because they're shattered. And in the meantime, those of us who love somebody with a shattered life, we endure the grief. We endure the knowledge that our vision, that our love of truth and our love of responsibility don't do one thing to help them, but it curses us with the truth of having to watch them head straight for a crash. And so we pray they survive the crash. We pray they emerge willing to finally see things as they truly are. We pray they reach a place where they're ready to give up all the dark horrors for the light, because hope can be restored, and so can love, along with joy and peace and responsibility and accountability. Faith, too, can be restored, but only if truth precedes it all, which means honesty has got to rule the moment, it has to rule the day, and it has to rule all of our life. Shattered lives, prepared to find mending, decide that the cost of their actions, it's excessive. They're giving up way too much. They come to realize that the sacrifices that they are making are just too great. There's too much downside, and there is no upside. None. Talk with people who surround the mended shattered life. Watch that video of Kevin Stevens that I'm embedding here. Talk with people who surround the mended shattered life, and you will see as much joy among these people as you will see among the mended life. People who have patiently and anxiously waited for the person to come to themselves. And now people who couldn't be happier if it had been their own life that was mended. It's the compassion. It's the compassion that friends and family feel. People whose hearts were broken but are now mended. Shattered gives way to put back together. Broken gives way to being mended. Lost gives way to being found. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. I appreciate you listening. I hope you'll click the subscribe button, tell a friend about the show. And until next time, greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.